Yes, I now declare the meeting open at 5:01 p.m. So there's no apologies received for this meeting. I begin today by acknowledging the Palitora and Panihia past peoples, the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which we gather today, and I pay my respects to elders past and present. I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. Moving on to confirmation of the minutes, which is on page 7. Would somebody like to move? Somebody like to second that, please? Councillor Dudman and Councillor Smedley, thank you. Any discussion on the minutes, councillors? If not, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hand. That is,
I was away.
You are away. Councillor, you can still vote for the minutes if you wish.
Well, I've read through them. I'm happy to.
Thank you. That is unanimous. Thank you. Declarations of interest. Are there any declarations of interest from councils? None received, General Manager. Thank you. Moving on to the council workshop report. So, council's last metro workshop, which was held on 28th of April, the report is included in the agenda. Then we're on to page 10, which is the mayor and the council reports. They're there for people to see. It's been a busy month again. And then council announcements and acknowledgements. Any council announcements or acknowledgements? Councillor Sinfield, with the microphone, please, councillor.
Is now the time for an indulgence in relation to former.
I just get you to lift the microphone up, councillor, please.
Lim? Yes, on indulgence to speak about the passing of former councillor Bob Richardson, who served on this council between 2000 and 2018. So he hasn't been here for 8 years. I attended his funeral yesterday morning in Launceston. Yeah, there were a number of or a couple of current councillors and some former staff there, as well as family, of which I'm in fact a distant cousin. But I'd sort of like to comment on a life amazingly well lived. I'm not going into all that he did, but many and varied roles, from being a senior master in college in Burnie in terms of geology type subjects, to being the head of the Funeral Directors Association of Australia, to running the post office in Westbury, as many people would know him in that time, in that role. And sadly, in more recent years, failing health, which has ultimately claimed his life, in respite care in recent times. But he'll be missed by his family and many people who've known him. He was very forthright in my time, having spent 5 years on council with him. He was extremely forthright and passionate about lots of issues. Probably the only disappointment was he was an ardent Bulldog supporter, but you can't get everything right. So, yes, I think Councillor Temple might have some more to say, but a life incredibly lived from go to woe in all that he did. Many, many other things that were mentioned at the funeral, but that he was actively involved in his younger life and later on. So, well.
Thanks, Councillor Sinfield. Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to add to those sentiments. So I just attended the funeral. It's good to see former staff, and the mayor of West Tamar was there. I think almost all of the living former members of the Westbury Hagley Development Association, of which Bob was a driving force. And I think we should remember that organize without that organization, and it's been attributed to Bob personally, we wouldn't have had two exits onto the Bass Highway from Westbury. We'd have only had one, and the town would have been quite different without it. And also he was instrumental in starting Valley Central Industrial Estate down north. So Bob certainly, through WHDA, did many, many good things. It was a good organisation. Our current Citizen of the Year was there. He was a former member of that organisation. Bob also produced the WEM, which was the Westbury Hagley Exton newsletter. He was the publisher. For a number of years, I was the printer. So that was a good thing that used to happen in our community. So, yes, Bob lived a full life, was courageous, liked to write things down, would write us all documents that took me a long time to read, because you had to read every word slowly and carefully. Good handwriting, but you had to spend your time to comprehend. So yes, he'll be missed. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Temple. Any other announcements, councillors? Councillor Lobo.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to acknowledge that this is Neighbourhood House Week this week. And here in Meander Valley, we have Deloraine House, but their reach is far greater than Deloraine. I think to sum it up in a nutshell, when bureaucracy fails and every door is closed, Deloraine has a way to bring everyone along and support them. So I commend the work of Deloraine House, their staff and volunteers, and I thank them deeply for the work that they do.
Thanks, Councillor Lota. Yeah, Councillor House.
Thank you, Mayor. We're sharing a microphone. I'd like to speak briefly, if I could, about the Deloraine Racecourse Precinct. I was away overseas when that was opened just recently, and I had the opportunity to go out on Sunday. It was Mother's Day, and I've gone out again with my wife a couple of days prior to that. To actually see how that's now developed and how that's working, I think it's just an amazing tribute to all the people who worked on it. I mean, we've, in this council, and I think even before my time, probably in your time, Wayne, this has been a concept, it's been a design, it's been a thought process, it's been a community consultation, what's going to work, what's not. But to actually see it in the flesh and to see it being so well used, on Sunday there were 30-odd car parks there, if I'm right. They were all full. There were people parked off to the side. Everyone was enjoying it. The kids were enjoying it. The adults were enjoying it. The adults were walking around the racecourse precinct that was with their prams and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's just really changed the dynamic of Deloraine. And I'm sorry I missed the opening, but I just want to acknowledge the work of all the people who've been involved with that. And I know I'm going to miss a lot of people, but I think it's Linda and her team, it's Matthew and your team. And I'm going to miss a whole heap of people that have been involved with it. But I think it's a great asset for Deloraine. And I just want to thank and acknowledge the work of so many people that have made that happen. And one more thing, Wayne, just sorry, quickly whilst I'm on that. Apparently there is, on the 23rd of this month, there's another opportunity to go on. I think it's called Ready, Set, Play. You might speak to that, I'm not too sure. But on Saturday, 23rd of May, from 12 to 4, it's a chance to go and enjoy and celebrate the opening of the new playground. So well done.
Thanks, Councillor. I'm a little bit old, go and play on those things at the moment. I could go on the flying fox, but it'd be pretty. Before I go to other councils, I just want to acknowledge the Anzac Day ceremonies that was held in our municipality from Mull Creek, Deloraine, Westbury, Bracknell, Carrick, Hagley. Correct me if I've missed anyone, councillors. It was good to see the amount of people that took out there. Also, I want to acknowledge Rural Youth for AgFest, which has just been held. The great job that they do and the amount of people that come into the Meander Valley. It's always a privilege to be mayor when Anzac Day is on, but also when AgFest is on. Interesting, I spoke to Larry Compton and he actually called me the mayor of AgFest, which I've never been called before, so I took that. So thank you. Any other announcements, councillors? No? Thank you. We'll move on. Page 12 is petitions, and no petitions received from the meeting. Are there any petitions from the gallery? Take that as no. Community representations. No community representations were received for this meeting. Are there any from the gallery? Take that as no. We now move on to public question time. So public question time can go for 15 to 30 minutes, depending on the chairs at the time. Yes, sorry, there were questions with notice. That's right. I've jumped a little paragraph. Sorry, John. Public questions with notice were received since the last council meeting are included in the agenda. Public questions without notice will have two questions per person for a maximum of 3 minutes. We can't enter into debate here, people, so you can ask the questions. We'll give an answer if we can, and then we move on. So just excuse me, I'm not playing with my phone, but I'm actually getting my timer up and running so that we don't get too far over time. So are there any public questions without notice from the gallery? Robbie's already asked. Right, well, that's up. Can we get Robbie a microphone, please? Sorry, I'll just ask you to state your name and then we'll go
from there. My name is Robert Collins. I'm leaving Den Lane. Thank you for your recommendation of disabled parking spots in Den Lane. However, it's sad to see that worked on both of them at the same time. Not enabling leaving us anywhere to park on other people park on the street. One thing I want to bring to council guys is pedestrian crossing the main street at Delaware. Well, I've asked several times for this. Now I think it's advantageous to people in scooters and push wheelchairs. People with families and also other scooters. In other words, disabled more than me. So I'd like to cease. Something
happened about that, please. Yeah. Oh, just saying that. My name is Lincoln Collins. I'm probably 6'1". I've been helping him with these things. Ideally, he'd really like a pedestrian crossing the main street. It's much needed for everybody who lives across the road. Robbie needs it because his wheelchair is too long to sit in the middle of space that's currently there. If you have a look at his chair, you'll see it's quite long. We figure that mothers with prams, people with walkers, other scooter drivers would also benefit from this as well. I put a post up on Facebook that I was coming tonight. I've had a lot of support from other people, so this would be amazing. We went out for a lunch the other day, and there were other elderly people in the same space we mentioned we were going to come to council, and they said they really pushed for it as well. It's just knowing how to go to get it to be put into place or getting it started or things like that. Robbie's had he has 24/7 care, and his carers are walk with him up the main street, and sometimes they've had to stop the traffic so he can cross the road safely. He also would like to raise the same toilet, obviously the RSL. Back in the day when it was built, it was a great little toilet. Sadly now, the toilet's only large enough for a person like Robbie in a wheelchair to access. He's got to drive in and then he's got to back out again. His carers have great difficulty accessing the front of him to assist him in toileting when he goes in. He's got to drive in, they've got to climb over the basin or the we wash your hands and then to toilet in that way, yeah. And then he's got to back out again. His question to council is, when is it likely that the crossing will be completed? And thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for the questions. I can answer a few of those. We have approved a budget to redo the toilet blocks in Deloraine, so the train toilet block, but also the toilet block up the top there, and we will incorporate disabled facilities into that, so that we're aware of that.
The toilet one, the toilet down in the train is great.
Because he can drive in and there's room for him to turn the chair around. Thank you very much. Both of them have to be revamped at the moment, so we've got an approved budget to do both of those. Disappointed to hear that both disabled blocks were being renovated at the same time, but from a council position, I guess it's easier to have one contractor there doing two jobs at once rather than one in, one out. And the other issue we've got as far as council goes is Deloraine is a sloping street, all the way up, all the way down. So as far as parking goes, we're aware of that. Your issue to do with the wheelchair and the length, I suppose, it is on the plans for Deloraine streetscape to be revamped in the next 2 to 3 years, maybe a little bit longer, once we complete Westbury. Those considerations will be taken in then. But in the meantime, if we can do something to actually make it safer, obviously happy to look at that. Jim, you got anything to add to that?
Look, thanks for coming along tonight and raising concerns. It's great that we get the feedback firsthand. And I think on Enya Bay Road that you're referring to, we have done a bit of work around access in along West Parade up into Enya Bay Road. So there have been some improvements along there. It's probably 3 or 4 pedestrian crossings on Enya Bay Road that were probably built to the standard at the time. But I understand things change over time, and if they're not meeting the modern requirements, it's certainly something we're going to have a look at. So I guess from today, I look at Dave, the Director of Infrastructure. I'm not sure if there's something you want to add, but I think the commitment that you can receive from us today, so we'll discuss it at workshop and see if there's short-term solutions in advance of the sort of medium-term work that the Mayor's referred to.
That's going up and down. Because if I'm not in, I've had a couple of crashes. If I'm not in where I try to fit in, they're getting very close to the back of my chair with their back doors.
Yeah, no, I followed our semi trailer up through Deloraine the other day, and he was running up on the pedestrian lines on the radio base. Aware of the lobby, but that was done quite a few years ago. So we'll look at it when we redo it again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you. Other questions from the floor? Mm-hmm. Yep, sure.
Ken Tyson from Jones South Street. Yeah.
How you doing, mate? You do for the recording, Ken.
There's 12 building blocks going in on Jones Street and corner of South. I'd like to see some action taken with sealing the road. Lots of infrastructure work going to happen there in the next 5 years, probably. You know, a fair bit of money getting spent and trucks and trailers and stuff coming up and down that road. I'd just like to see whether or not the council prepared to do something about it. It's a bit messy at the moment.
Thanks, Ken. I guess in the last few days, the council have done something. I actually went for a ride up there today and noticed that the grade has been up there and has widened the road to what it was. It was very narrow there before, there's no doubt about it. It's something that will go into the capital works budget going forward. Probably the issue at the moment is the traffic flow maybe doesn't warrant a seal of the whole road, but not to say that we won't take that on board going forward. So thanks for your question. Any other questions from the floor? Yeah, sure.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Councillors. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Tanya King and I'm in Westbury. I did submit some questions with notice. And I thank Directors David Murray and Craig Davies for their responses to my questions. But the information that I provided with the questions wasn't printed in the agenda, and as a result, my first question doesn't make any sense without that context. So for completeness, I take the opportunity to share that. In August last year, I asked, was there a policy that determines when a road is sealed based on development, traffic movements and dust mitigation, to which I was told there isn't one, and that council were working on some guidelines. I also know that no traffic impact assessment was done for the subdivision that was in question at the time. At that very same meeting, Councillors Dugland, Gloder, Hussein Fieldhouse, Temple and Cameron discussed and inferred that indeed Jones Street South West Freeport was sealed as part of the next capital works program. I do not know the position of Councillors Cronshaw or Smedley, as neither had responded in the past to my calls or emails, and Mayor Johnson was on leave at that time, but a recent conversation indicates that it's not supported on the basis of traffic movements. By my calculations, that was a majority consensus, and I understand the project has not been recommended and the road is to be graded again rather than sealed. Jones Street South now has 10 driveways and an intersection, with another driveway to be introduced when the latest subdivision is progressed. Yesterday and today, there has been activity involving trucks and graders in Jones Street South and South Street, and I expect that this is in response to the reported damage to a boundary fence and vegetation that was raised with council only last week. It's disappointing that it takes damage or an incident before action is taken, particularly when residents have repeatedly highlighted that the road width is inadequate. I attended the August 2025 meeting when my neighbour and fellow ratepayer Tanya Thompson, along with myself, raised this exact concern with council. And in response to the traffic count undertaken last year and referred to by Director Murray, it should be noted that the count was completed prior to the second of the three subdivisions that have been approved and therefore no longer reflects the current conditions. Since that assessment was undertaken, an additional 8 driveways have been added to the road network, significantly increasing traffic movements and rendering that data obsolete. Further, Jones Street South is only approximately 650 metres in length, with 11 driveways and an intersection along that distance. There is on average a turning point every 54 metres on this short gravel road. While these access points are not evenly spaced, the figures do help illustrate the density of driveways and vehicle interactions occurring along the road. Just this afternoon, while I was tending to my horses outside, I observed a council 10-yard truck travelling along the road and empty, and heading towards depot around knock-off time. Even at this time of year and immediately following recent grading works, the amount of dust generated was significant. Had I happened to have my phone with me, I could have documented it, but unfortunately it was a missed opportunity and you won't get that bill. My questions today are, where else in the municipality are there driveways at such a density on a gravel road?
I can't answer that last question off the top of my head, Tanya, where they are, but having lived a third of my life on a gravel road, some would call it a dirt road, but it's actually a gravel road, understand the frustration of dust that seems to be the main problem. But yes, you said there was 6 councillors that indicated that they were supportive to look at that going forward. And we talked about it at a workshop recently about that street. I think it's very coincidental that the grader is actually out there working. It's not because of the letter that you sent through with the damage. It was actually down to happen. But so I guess going forward, we will have a look at it on a case-by-case basis as we do with every road in the municipality. We don't have it anymore.
I would say the question, I'm noticing you've asked a specific example and we can find some and put them in the minutes.
Thank you. I did have a second question.
You certainly didn't time that, did you? No, you're right. That was the second question.
Thank you. Will Council give serious consideration to sealing Jones Street South and South Street commensurate with the level of subdivision and development occurring on what were once rural roads but are now carrying significantly greater volumes of traffic?
Yeah, Tanya, so it's been considered. It was considered at the workshop, considered in the Capital Works program. As more buildings are built, as more traffic is there, we will consider it going forward again. Can't give you a yes or a no answer, but we'll certainly consider it going forward, as we do with every other road and subdivision and street in the municipality.
Thank you.
Thank you. Question, clarification from Deputy Mayor.
to clarify the comment around, and I'm sorry that if you felt at the August meeting that I had made a pledge to you, my belief was that I had, what's the right word, but I was hoping that we could take it offline and continue the conversation, which we did. So I don't feel that in that August meeting I made any guarantee that that would be a project coming up, but a guarantee that we'd have a conversation around it. So I just wanted to clarify that part of the question.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Thank you, Janet. Any other questions from the floor? There's no. Okay. For those who ask questions today, that'll bring public question time to an end. For those that ask questions today, could you either email a written copy of your questions to ogm@mbc.tas.gov.au by tomorrow morning, or can you, if you have handwritten questions, can you pass them in to Linda, who's going to put her hand up shortly as you go out and leave the building. Thank you. Moving over to councillor question time. Councillor with notice. There were no councillor questions with notice that were received. Councillor questions without notice. So are there any questions without notice from councillors? Councillor Dudman.
Thank you, Mayor. Earlier this year, you wrote to the Minister for Parks regarding Attali Estate following a successful motion that I moved and was supported by my fellow councillors. Since then, we have received a response from the Minister regarding our concerns with Intelli Estate. Would it be possible for that letter to be published in the minutes of this meeting so the public has a record of the response we have received from the government?
Yes, Councillor Dublin, happy to do that. Any other questions from councillors? Councillor Sinfield?
Yes. While Mr. Collins is here, I think I know the answer, but I'll frame it as a question. It is my understanding that when the two toilet blocks are upgraded, so disabled access, et cetera, will be addressed in terms of the one up in front of the RSL, but it's my understanding that we'll also be revisiting or creating a disabled access parking spot out the front. Is that correct? And so that will provide an additional parking spot. And if I've got the opportunity, it was an oversight, I suspect, that we hadn't contemplated that we did the other two in the one hit. It was a disappointing thing when you think about the possible ramifications of actually removing disabled access spots at the same time in the main street. But yeah, so ultimately we'll have an extra one.
It's
above what we've got now before we do the street upgrade.
Yeah, yes, it's in good. On angle parking, there's nods from that side of the wall that it will be, yes. I certainly have to acknowledge Councillor Kelly that raised this 2 or 3 years ago to upgrade and make sure there was additional disabled parking up that end of the street. So thank you. Any other questions, councillors?
Oh.
Councillor Temple?
Seeing we're talking about parking, Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to ask, it's obvious that the size of a lot of vehicles on our roads has increased in size, passenger vehicles, a lot of, I think, sort of pickup trucks are the main seller at the moment. And I noticed, I notice continually, a lot of them are taking more than one car parking space. So that they overhang the one behind, not leaving enough room. So is it a time now that we should look at lengthening car parking spaces for parallel parking, meaning potentially losing one, but actually gaining more parking because of the problem we now have?
That's probably a very good question, Councillor Temple. I'm just thinking, if I go back to the 50s and 60s, I think the cars were a fair bit longer than what they are now. So maybe the car parks have expanded, reduced, and we may have to expand them again. But I'd like to take that one notice, Councillor. Thank you. Any other questions, councillors? No? Okay. Thank you. So just a reminder, councillors, that questions without notice are required in writing at the conclusion of the meeting. Council notices of motion. There were no council notices of motion were received in the meeting. Are there any for this meeting? So I take that as no. There are no planning items for today's meeting, so we do not have to go into planning with our planning hats on. So we move over to page 17, which is development regulatory services, animal management fees and charges. Would somebody like to move? Somebody like to second that, please? Councillor Loader, thank you. Seconder. Councillor Cameron. Stop there for a minute. Sorry. Oh, yeah, good question. Anybody that wishes to leave, sorry, if you want to leave now, please feel free to do so before we go into the bulk of the council meeting. Okay, that's fine. Councillor Loader has moved the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I'm happy to move this motion and I am in support of it. I want to acknowledge the work that's gone into this and that staff have looked at other councils that neighbour Meander Valley and sought to find an appropriate price for these dog registration fees and other associated fees. And I think that's a good thing to benchmark it. But I also want to acknowledge that we are particularly trying to avoid an unfair burden on the domestic dogs. We've looked at that very carefully because I think the majority of people fall into that category. And I think it's good that we are trying to work out what the kind way is to increase the price. Because our council is very good. We have this 24/7 service, but it does cost a lot of money. Unfortunately, everything is going up, so we need to adjust the prices too.
Yes, Councillor Loader. Councillor Cameron, second on the motion.
Yeah, yes, I agree with the comments Councillor Loader made. And, thank you for benchmarking with our neighbours, but I'm sure we still actually do a far better job. We still have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week call-out service, it is, like Councillor Loader said, it does cost a lot of money and I do really appreciate it. So always very mindful of the costs that we're asking our ratepayers to pay, but appreciate that we've gone to quite a lot of effort there to try and make it as fair and reasonable as possible. So I am happy to support it.
Thank you. Open up for discussion, councillors. Questions, councillors House?
Oh, just a comment there, if I could, I'll be supporting it as well. But I guess it's fair to say to Wade and his team, it's a pretty thankless job at times. Probably not a glamorous job either, animal management. So I just really want to thank all the work that they do. It's probably not the sort of role where you get lots of thanks and praises, I would think, right? But we appreciate all the work that goes into it and more than happy to support the amended fees.
Thanks, Councillor House. Open up for discussion, councillors. Yeah, Councillor Sinfield.
Yeah, just for the audio and visual record, the item that deals the last one in the recommendation, which is surrender dog fee plus dog's home of Tasmania fee at cost or veterinary fee at cost, $120. Could we get staff, the director, to perhaps make a comment on what that actually, flesh out what that actually means, because people may have it in a different manner, but I think if it's on the record what we're actually saying, that would go a long way to think a good thing.
Thank you, Councillor.
Through you, Chair. That fee is intended to be, the surrender for the dog fee is $120. In addition to that, the Dogs Home of Tasmania charge us a fee for us to surrender a dog to them, which is substantially higher than if a member of the public takes a dog to them. So that we will include at the cost to us of surrendering a dog to the Dogs Home plus the $120 with a surrender fee.
Thank you, Krista. Any other discussion, councillors? No. Councillor Cameron, second motion. Any doubt? Councillor Lowe, any doubt? Okay, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye, raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. Development and Regulatory Services, page 22. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second, please. Thank you. Seconder?
Second.
Thank you, Councillor Funchal. Councillor Cameron is the mover of the motion.
Thank you. Thank you to the staff for working through this and doing some comparisons and trying to make it a little bit more in line with the process. I don't know if anyone really truly understands the work that environmental health officers do. but I bumped into one at Agfest the other day and my feet were sore, but that environmental health officer had been walking around all of the businesses there, the food businesses, checking that they were safe. And that's something that me as a consumer takes for granted. So there's heaps of things that you do outside of anybody's knowledge, really. So I really appreciate the work that they now environment. Is there a nickname for environmental health officers?
EHOs
do. And again, appreciate you working through this to try and keep it as minimal cost increase as possible. So thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Councillor Cronshaw, anything to add?
Oh, I would also like to thank the people who have actually put this all together, and the explanations that we received earlier really clarified it. So I'm in support of this, so it's me.
Thank you. Open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Loader.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I'm in support of it. I bumped into Maddie as well and at Agfest, and she was merrily trooping around. I note that where the fees are splitting the priority one and the priority two food categories, can we have an explanation about why? Please.
Yes, through you, Chair. So under the Tasmanian Food Business Risk Classification System, businesses can be risk classified into P1, P2, P3 or P4. P1 are higher risk businesses, and because of the higher risk nature of the food handling activities they undertake, they require more frequent inspections by council officers. So a P1 business has to be inspected at a minimum every 6 months by a council environmental health officer. P2 businesses are every 12 months and P3 businesses are every 18 months because of that, I suppose, burden on council staff and that resource that has to be sent out to that business and spend the time undertaking that inspection. That's why it does incur a higher fee.
Great explanation. Absolutely.
The whole reason behind this is purely to keep everybody safe.
Yes, through you, Chair. So, yes, the intention of inspecting higher-risk businesses more frequently is for the EHOs to ensure that the businesses have appropriate processes in place and that they're using them regularly and maintaining them.
Thank you. Councillors, any other questions? Councillor Cronk. Councillor Cronshaw, anything to add as the seconder?
Yeah.
Councillor Cameron, yeah, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye, raise your hand. That is unanimous, thank you. Sure. I'll pass that to you, David. Before we go to the next one, there is an explanation before we go to the next one. General Manager.
That's right. So for item 14.1, we have a very minor change compared to what's in the published agenda today, and that is on page 46 of our agenda. We have an item which was listed as provisional, and that is around the new function centre for the Deloraine Racecourse Precinct. That was provisional because we were voting for advice from federal government around a grant that we had applied for, and it was great news that we received confirmation yesterday, Mayor, that the federal government is going to fund that program, $3.6 million under the federal program. I received that advice from Minister Catherine King MP, which then, for us with our item today, just moves the item from being provisional to being recommended to be funded. So no overall change, but a change in the way that's reflected in.
Thank you, Jim. And that was a federal government election promise that was made. So that's been by both parties from memory, but they're up here, $3.6 million to build new facilities for Deloraine as a function centre, which is great when it comes off. So moving on, page 29, somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Councillor Dudman is the mover. Seconder, thanks. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Dudman.
Thank you, Mayor. It's a busy time of year putting this together. I think for many of us around the table, it's certainly a favourite time of year as we get to pursue projects that are important for our community. But I think it is important to acknowledge the amount of work that goes into this, especially from the staff. So to Dave, Rob and your team, thank you for all that you do, because it is no small feat preparing all this work, balancing the requests of the community, of councillors, and of priorities that have been brought through that we've identified as council as well. I think overall, there is a lot that we are seeking to achieve in the next 12 months and into the forwards as well. But there is a good range across our community of projects that are of importance to the municipality, that being the regular stuff of making sure that our roads are safe, of resealing, of ensuring that our footpaths are adequate or added to if needed. And I know in recent times, the Blackstone Heights community, Carrick community, they've really appreciated the work that has been done there. And some projects that will also improve the amenity of our suburbs as well, which is good to see. Things like the work being done to the town hall and supper room, the upgrade to the main street in Westbury. We've already done stage one, and progressing that to stage two and three is a good step. I know that in Hagley, the community very strong in pushing for footpath and drainage upgrades, and it's good to see that that's been included as well. And of course, there's refurbishments happening to our roadways in Blackstone Heights, in Prospect Vale, and across the municipality. So I do believe that this is a capital works plan that addresses a broad range of community interests across our diverse municipality, across all the towns and suburbs that we have. I would like to make one special note of the upgrade to the Egmont barbecue and seated area, which I'm very thankful that we've received support to invest in that space. It's a well-loved community asset. It's something that I've been campaigning for since being elected to council, because the community have raised this with me continuously. And so it's good to see that there will be some improvements done at Egmont Reserve to make such a vibrant space even better to sit, relax, enjoy with friends and family. I will note there's obviously some projects that I wasn't successful with getting up, and that happens. I make the same commitment that I've always made. I am always happy to continue to pursue projects that have been unsuccessful, and will continue to do so with an aim of course, getting them across the line in due course as well. But as I said, overall, I think this is a budget that we can be proud of, something that meets the needs of our community and will continue to meet the needs of an ever-growing and diversifying community.
Thank you, Councillor Dudman. Councillor Cameron.
Thank you. Yes, it is my favourite time of the year. I do love talking about capital works projects, and I do appreciate all the work that goes in the background there, with costing and design and, you know, you name it, there's so much that goes into all of these projects. And there's a lot on there that I'm really excited and proud to see appearing on there. And also there are other projects that I'd love to see on there, and I know that will be on there in the future. And just a reminder to the community, and, you know, if you do have an idea or a thought about where you want to see something, please always reach out. You can always reach out to one of the councillors or straight to direct to council and share your idea, because that's what we want to do. I think Councillor Dudman talked about vibrancy and livability, and that's what we want. We want to be able to do projects and deliver projects that are what you want. And I think, yeah, look, I could go through the list. I am pleased to see you know, maybe we won't see it this year, but there's a parking study and improvements for the Deloraine train park. But, you know, that's investing in some serious background work to make sure that we get that right. So, can't wait to see these things. We've gone out on the bus tour next year and start seeing some of these projects come to life. And just a reminder to anyone that has a great idea, please always feel free to share it.
Next Deputy Mayor, open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Smedley, with your microphone, please.
Thanks very much. Through you, Mr. Mayor. Just a query in a general sense about the current situation with the oil crisis or global issue. Has already been discussed in relation to major infrastructure projects on a statewide basis, the impact of that. Have we got any sense of the impact that that might have already on these projects or ones that we're currently undertaking, but particularly these ones, or what that might look like if we continue to see that prolonged?
Thanks for the question, Councillor Smedley. It certainly is having a bit of a financial impact to some of our projects. It is something that we have been working through. I guess the federal government has legislated a position on that that's provided some level of clarity around cost implication for some essential services. So logistics, as in distribution, waste management, some elements of waste management are captured, and the position for the cost escalation that some of those businesses are experiencing and their entitlements to additional costs under contracts that we have in place has been set. So the ambiguity, I suppose, is probably removed from those. So we have a fixed position. We use between 4,000 and 5,000 litres of diesel per week, which is quite a lot if you think of it like that over the course of a 12-month period. So the longer that the cost escalation is experienced, there is a cost element to council that we are continuing to manage. Probably for the decisions that you're forming today around our capital works program, when we go to tender and quote on some of the work that's proposed to be undertaken, we will get an understanding of how much higher the costs are compared to the budgets that have been proposed to you. For some projects, it's possible that that means that project will have to be deferred to a point in time. For those projects that can be deferred, some can't. Some that would pose a risk to vehicle traffic, we wouldn't defer, obviously, but there may be others that we would have to consider. For some other projects, such as our asphalt and bitumen resealing programs, it may be that we will be working to the same budget, but a reduced scope of work. So it's possible that we need to reduce either the number of jobs that we undertake or the length of kilometres that we achieve for that value of money. So these are all the things that our officers will be working on. And hopefully, you know, it's a short period of time, but as you sort of said, it is uncertain at this point in time. Now, I'll look to the people that are experts that aren't me, in Director of Infrastructure David and Works Matthew, if there's anything you think that I've missed there that should be considered by council.
Yeah, thank you, GM, and through the chair, I'd just echo the general manager's comments that it's really around understanding the timing of the work. So if there is some work that can be postponed or delayed for a period of time till prices stabilise, we will definitely look at that. But then if there are projects that really need to occur, that's where we go into a prioritisation mode and ensure that those projects are delivered when they need to be. And I guess that the scope is in keeping with some of the costs that we're exposed to as well. So there may be some alternative treatments that we can look at as well, potentially. So it's all around the value for money at the point in time.
Councillor Smedley, follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So just in relation to alternative treatments, I have heard that the standard for bitumen is being reduced to the European and US standard. Is there any update on that and what that impact might be? Particularly aware that, for example, at Prospect Bar Park, currently it's a gravel road, actually, which I know is quite topical, but nonetheless, we're expecting bitumen will go down at some point.
Oh, look, the project that you're referring to, council was approved prior to, so I don't expect that the scope of that project will change in any way. However, the point you're making around changing the standard of the bitumen, it's not something that's come through to me. I'm not sure, Matthew or David, if that's something that's been raised by our contractors.
No. Okay. Any other questions, Councillor Loder?
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I'm happy to support this motion. I guess it would be nice to have lots of money and to be able to do everything that the community wants, because I can safely say that there's a lot of things that I put in that there was a very robust discussions about, but haven't got a Guernsey this time around. But that doesn't mean that they won't get a Guernsey. It means that the project's there in the pipeline waiting, I think is fair to say, and to be reassessed each year. In regard to footpaths, I'm a bit of a queen of footpaths. I'm so pleased to see footpaths coming. That unfortunately, when we see infill housing and new developments, there is an expectation in the community that we'll get the roads widened and we'll get more footpaths. It's like, well, you're putting in more houses, therefore we should get more infrastructure to help us to be able to move around our neighbourhoods safely. But that's not always how it happens. It's not logical, to be honest. It just does my head in. Like if you're going to put, for example, in Jones Street South, if you're going to put in all these new houses, then seal the road, give us a footpath. But it's just not how the matrix, the framework add up. And that can be really frustrating and disappointing for the community. And I'm thinking also of the footpath on Panorama Road that's going in. Now, that's been talked about for a long time and it's finally coming. I just think it's not okay to have a lot of houses and not have safe ways for us to get around. But the trouble is the budget doesn't always meet the desired community expectation. And in regard to the Jones Street South, seeing as though we have three people here today, that's not something that's off the cards completely. It's something that will get looked at and probably in the next iteration of council and the next capital works budget, I hope that we can look at it, study it, and potentially agree to include it.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other discussion, councillors? Councillor Sindhu.
Thank you. Again, just for the record, I would like to point out the error inconsistency on page 31 for those in our community who would go through this document with a fine-tooth comb, that there's a $100,000 difference between that stated under the heading of upgrade and new assets of just repeat the sentence as proposed in the draft capital works program new/upgrade asset expenditure of $8.372 million is $546,000 over the budget forecast. In the next paragraph, it has a different figure, but it was meant to be the same dollar amount of $8.372, just for the record. My other comment, I guess, is I would, and I guess it doesn't preclude it, I would probably... Not that I don't want to see an upgrade to place playground facilities in Deloraine, but I would have I doubt the support to move an amendment, but I would have liked to have seen that item deferred until we had the traffic study information relevant to that train park precinct done. But it may well be that if there's money allocated to that purpose that the two might actually line up together anyway, so I won't die in a ditch in terms of having that item deferred for the year. That's probably a common sense approach to how to handle that item, but we have a broad range of things we're trying to do. I would probably concur with others that I would love to see a way where we can actively
start doing some sealing of gravel roads that, in my view, there's probably at least 50 kilometres of the roughly 300 odd that we are currently unsealed that we're responsible for, that I think ought to be sealed. We've only, as we heard earlier, we've only done two roads in decades, really, since we've amalgamated between Westbury and Deloraine. We managed to do it years ago. It's sort of curious as to why we can't do it now. But how we find a way going forward to generate extra income that might actually achieve that, because there's no reason why we have to adhere to national standards, etc., in terms of vehicle movements. We can do better than that. I think we have done better than that a long time ago, and it'd be nice to, as I say, to find a way forward that might do that again.
Thanks, Councillor. Anything else, councillors? I'd like to thank staff for the time and effort. All but 18 million in capital works budget for this year. Every road, every footpath, every building, every bit and piece, every bridge, everything is looked at on an annual basis. Compliance, safety, all the bits and pieces. And just for us councillors to do a couple hour tour around a little bit of our municipality and just look at the footpaths that are there or not there. And it's a big undertaking, because they all need to be renewed or built. And yeah, thank you for your work and the time and effort. Appreciate it. So, now, if there's nothing else, councillors, I will come back to Councillor Cameron and second the motion. I think Councillor Dudman moved the motion.
Just note and encourage the community to read through the budget that we've provided and will be published, obviously, after this meeting. It's already published in the agenda online. We obviously can't name every item in every suburb that's being delivered right now, but it is worth going through and seeing where council is investing. And of course, if there are holes, it's important to identify them and raise them with our councillors and council staff. To Councillor Lodi's question before, yes, I will be raising Jones Street South again next year, as I did in 23, 24, 25, and this year in 26. So look forward to having that discussion next year too.
Thanks, Councillor Dudman. I put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hand. Against? So that's Johnston, Cameron, Cronshaw, Dudman, Sinfield, Medley. Sorry, I got stuck there. Loder and
House.
I'm really stuck. And against, Councillor Temple. Okay. Thank you. Move on to the next one. Again, anybody wishes to go, please do so before we move on to budget adjustments.
Yes, for me. Just back to the board.
Thank you very much. Oh, I've got your question. All good. No jobs.
We will continue on page 50, budget adjustments. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. So Dudman, thank you. Seconder. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Dudman is the mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't think we need to dwell on this for too long. Obviously, the overall adjustments are fairly minor when you consider the amount of work that we are doing across the municipality. And it's good to see that where we have made savings, we've been able to reinvest that in other projects for the most part. So happy to support this.
Thank you, Councillor Cameron.
Just agree with Councillor Dudman. Thank you. I'm happy to support it.
Very good. Open up for discussion, councillors. No discussion. All right. Put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Say aye. That is unanimous. Thank you. Moving on to infrastructure services, which is FOGO expansion, page 53. Councillor Dudman is the mover, Councillor Loder is the seconder. Councillor Dudman is mover.
Thank you, Mayor. I think this is an exciting expansion. I am a big proponent of FOGO, which obviously is food organics and garden organics, a better way to deal with our green waste and other refuse than what we currently do, either putting it in red bins or disposing of it in other ways, maybe landfill. We know that across the state and across the country and in the world, this is a better way of dealing with this type of waste because it ensures that it biodegrades better. It doesn't just end up in landfill. I can't remember the stat off the top of my head, but I think there's a large diversion that occurs through FOGO that is around...
Yes, so it's for, of all the waste that's collected, sorry, of all the waste that's collected, 25% of that is FOGO. And that means with the combination of recycling, it's a 45% diversion from landfill.
That is an incredible diversion, an incredible amount when we consider the impacts on waste management for councils and even on a national and worldwide level, to be able to divert 45% away from landfill and better manage the emissions that come out of this type of waste, better manage the environmental impacts, I think that's an incredible thing. I am a big fan of FOGO in suburban areas where people don't have the same ability to, you know, light a bonfire or feed the scraps to the chooks as people would in more rural areas. So I am a big fan of FOGO, happy to say that. I am aware that around the table there are some FOGO foes. But the point that I would make is that this is about ensuring that people are able to deal with their waste in an appropriate way in suburban areas. I'm not saying that we should at all go out to the local farms and give them a green bin. I think we know what they'd say to us, and I entirely respect that and understand that. However, there is a need in our community. We can see from the response of 70.4% who responded to the consultation across Westbury, Exon and Hagley responded in favour of FOGO. I believe that's the highest response rate yet, and it shows that as more and more people get to understand FOGO, they get to appreciate it and they want it. And I'm looking forward to expanding it further across the municipality. I know many people in Deloraine would like it. I'm sure there's a few people on Cayside Road that would love it as well, so we'll have that conversation. But overall, I think this is a great program, a great expansion, and I can't wait to see it rolled out in Westbury, Exton and Hagley.
Thank you, Councillor Dudman. Councillor Loder.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I'm fully behind expanding FOGO to Westbury, Exton and Hagley. With organics making up half of our household waste, this is one of the most effective ways we can reduce landfill and look after our local environment. The recent consultation showed a clear mandate for this, with over 70% of residents in support, and I acknowledge that shifting to a fortnightly schedule can feel like a big change at first, and I really hear those concerns. However, experience shows that while it might look difficult to get used to, most people adjust to the new routine very quickly. So this to me is a common sense step that is working towards delivering a consistent service across the municipality and helps us move toward a more sustainable future.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Temple.
It was just said that 70% of the communities in favour of it. It's 70% of the respondents are in favour of it.
Is that respondents?
Yeah. Thought I heard. Okay, thank you. Apologise, but yes, that's where we are.
Thank you. Open up for discussion, councillors.
Thank you, councillor.
Councillor House.
Thank you, Mayor. I was going to either move that or second it, but I wasn't quick enough.
Sorry.
No surprise, I'm a FOGO fan, and all the things that have been said so far by Councillors Dudman and Loder, I agree with 100%. We are a high-volume waste society. That's just the way we are these days. And it is really incumbent on us, you know, to make sure that we deal with that waste appropriately. But, I mean, one of the other byproducts, the ones I think that's, has, you know, perhaps been noted, not too sure, but the benefit overall that landfill sites will last longer because they're not going to have the same volume through them. And that in itself is an extraordinary, probably saving over a period of time. To Councillor Loder's point, it does take a while
for people to get used to the idea of using FOGO. Once you've got it, you wouldn't go back, I don't think. Coming from from Prospect Vale, where we've had it a long time, it's a great service. The benefit to the community will be over the mid to long term, and the benefit to council will be from the short term, I think. So more than supportive. And I'm really pleased also that of the respondents, some 70-odd percent, to your point, Councillor Dudman, I think that is a very high response in the positive. And I think that does go to show that people are getting used to the idea. It does make sense, that it works. And just takes a little while to get used to it sometimes, but the benefits outweigh anything to the contrary. So well done, and look forward to supporting it.
Thanks, Councillor. Open up. Now discuss, Councillor Cameron.
Thank you. So last time we had a discussion about FOGO, I do think that maybe my words were a little muddled and maybe I didn't express myself completely clearly, and I had been called the FOGO foe, and that's not the case. I just do have quite strong opinions about waste. So what I've decided to do is write some notes down, and I'm just going to read those to you now. So hopefully it will provide a bit of an explanation about where I sit. So none of us can be ignoring our responsibility to reduce our waste. As a family of four living on a farm, it blows my mind the amount of rubbish that we load into our skip bin. I do make a conscious effort to reuse and repurpose what I can, and cardboard and newspaper goes to the garden. I've got chooks, we all know that. But we are also big fans in our family of initiatives like the Container Refund Scheme, and we've been collecting our 10-cent bottles and cans like no tomorrow. And that's seen over 118 million people, a million eligible containers being diverted from landfill, which I think is just fantastic. But still, I know that I need to do more, and I know that FOGO will help this happen. You might remember that when we were discussing the rollout of FOGO in Carrick, I was confident, I think I might have said it, that the further we move west with the rollout, the less popular it would be. But I think I might have been wrong. And I honestly didn't think it would be used. And while I thought it was a nice idea, the change from the weekly rubbish collection to a fortnightly one, and people in these areas generally having larger block sizes, I thought this was far too great to warrant the move. And I felt torn in that decision because the response rate was quite low and I didn't feel like it gave me a really strong direction. But with over 70% of the respondents in Westbury, Exeter and Hagley asking for this service, I cannot ignore that overwhelming support that has been received from the community. And I really do appreciate those that took the time to return their responses, yes or no, or anywhere in between, because I did really need to see that feedback. And so based on the community support received, I will support this motion and I'm not the FOGO foe. However, I do believe that our focus should be on rolling out our general roadside collection across the municipality. I do believe that areas that can be serviced should be serviced, and ensuring that all of the waste that is collected and disposed of in a more environmentally conscious manner, that should be our priority. I'm not saying that we can't continue with rolling out FOGO, but I do believe we need to shift our focus to investigate general roadside collection service to the almost 4,000 properties that currently do not receive any form of roadside collection. Yes, I will be voting for this motion.
Thank you. Thank you. Councillor Smedley.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll be supporting the motion as well. It's really positive to see that it's actually growing the support for FOGO. That's really positive as we move west. Can we just clarify as well, how long will it take before we complete the rollout of FOGO?
I haven't got a piece of thing, Councillor Smedley. I guess we're on a slow burn. Try to the General Manager.
Depends what you how you define complete, I suppose, because we're progressively exploring how far that would be expanded in our municipality. So we've surveyed Westbury, Hagley and Exton on this occasion, and the intention is that next year we'll be doing the same with the Deloraine community. So that's the next township that we're looking to discuss what support there is or not for FOGO. So specifically regarding the Westbury, Hagley, Exton area, we have to have those things out and get the service happening in July this year, so quite quickly. But for anything beyond that, will be another decision of council. Fair to say, I'll look at the infrastructure team at the end.
Yep, spot on.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Councillor. Any other questions, councillors? No? All right. Councillor Loader is the second of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. I particularly want to thank the Deputy Mayor for her comments and helping us understand where she's at with the FOGOs. I used to live on a farm. I wouldn't have wanted a FOGO, but I can see that it's a really big benefit for built-up areas. So, yeah, so thank you, Councillor Cameron. And I'll be supporting it with vigour.
FOGO bells.
Councillor Dudman.
Thank you, Mayor. I agree. It's great to hear from the Deputy Mayor. I'm glad to see she's not a FOGO foe. Perhaps she's FOGO on the fence. But it's good to see that for this instance, she's a FOGO fan. So she also raises a good point in terms of expanding our curbside collection, and that is a separate issue to this. But it shows the diversity of the ways we need to manage our waste management system. And I know that we have in the past spoken about the need to expand curbside to those rural areas like Whitemore, like Beverley and other areas. And I'm more than happy and excited to continue those conversations because for people living in those areas and more in our rural zones, it's a really important thing for them as well. But on FOGO, as I said, it's great to see that there is support around the table for it, and let's fight on for FOGO. I was running out of hands.
But anyway, thank you. We'll put the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. Page 56, governance, community, wellbeing. So somebody like to move, somebody like to second, please. Councillor Dudman, thank you. Councillor Loader. Councillor Dudman is the mover.
Thank you, Mayor. I think it's an important policy to turn our mind to as we head towards the local government elections for 2026. It sets clearly in place the parameters of how council will operate during that time to ensure that we operate as we should and appropriately and make sure that councillors, whether they be candidates or otherwise, conduct themselves in a respectful and appropriate manner that doesn't push the boundaries of the caretaker period and their roles and responsibilities as a councillor while they are simultaneously campaigning for re-election or for election. So I am more than happy to support this policy that's presented for us.
Thank you. Councillor Loader.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I'm fully in support. I think it provides a framework, if you like, for everyone in our community to understand what current elected reps can and can't do during the election period. It gives fairness and transparency. And I would encourage the community, even though policies can be a little bit dull to read, I think, you know, if you're concerned about what councillors are doing during the election period, you can look at this policy and just put whatever action you think might be questionable through that kind of litmus test. And also for people who might be planning to stand, I think it's vital that they understand that, you know, this basically gives us an even playing field during a very important time.
Thanks, Councillor Loader. Any comments, questions, councillors? Take that as no. I don't know the need to come back to either of you to put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hand. That's unanimous. Thank you. Move a motion to close the meeting. Someone like to move? Someone like to move?
Could I just?
You can.
Your indulgence.
Yes, we've already passed the motion, Councillor.
No, not to do with that.
Right.
Earlier we were talking about crude oil.
Yes, Councillor.
I think it's a mistake to flag that we expect price of bitumen to go up. Why should it? There are plenty of shale oil projects in the world that will come on that will get, then the supply chain will take that to refineries and to us. Just because the Gulf mightn't be there, and the Gulf will be pumping its sweet light down to sewers, one presumes. So it's only there. Intermediate or medium and heavy sour that we'll be missing out on. There's plenty of shale oil projects around the world that produce heavy sour. So I don't think we should be expecting price hikes and have to curtail some things because we expect it to go up. I wouldn't expect it to go up at this stage.
Okay, I'll take that on board, Councillor Temple. I guess Meander Valley sits on a large contingent of shale, so you're not endorsing that we mine for shale oil, surely, in the Meander Valley?
No. We'd need a fractional distillation column somewhere to do anything with it if we found it.
Okay. We'll leave that one alone. All right. Moving on to the motion to close the meeting. Somebody like to move, somebody like Councillor House. Thank you. Seconder, Councillor Dudman. Put the motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you. In live streaming.